It's the high season of summer in our corner of southeastern New England, a time of cobalt skies, fluffy whipped cream clouds, and sun-washed surf. It's what many of us consider our best season. Proust had his Madeleines. Rhode Island natives have our childhood memories stirred by plates stacked high with seamers, soggies, and clam bakes on the beach. Yet this summer is no time to take a vacation from Rhode Island politics. The voting booth is the only place in our society where each one of us, wealthy or struggling, Mayflower scion, or newly sworn immigrant citizen, is absolutely equal. Even if you don't have the means to write a campaign check, there are plenty of opportunities to get involved for a cause or candidate you care about. Campaigns are always in need of people power to turn out votes and turn in mailings. The 2014 elections are crucial because there are choices to be made at virtually every level, from United States Senator to school committee. All of the state's 113 General Assembly seats are at stake, even if about half of them are running unopposed. There will be important referenda on the ballot, too, from building a new engineering school at the University of Rhode Island to deciding whether Newport will have a full-fledged casino. All of the statewide offices are up for grabs this year, beginning with the governorship, where there are spirited campaigns on both the Democratic and Republican primary ballots on September 9th. The Democratic ballot features three major candidates who are relative newcomers to Rhode Island politics: Providence Mayor Angel Taveras, General Treasurer Gina Raimondo, and former White House aide Clay Pell. On the Republican side, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung and Barrington businessman Ken Block face off in the primary. Over the years, representatives of Rhode Island's business community and a bevy of unelected elites, including good government groups led by Common Cause of Rhode Island, have tried to usher in change to our state from the top down. Through state house lobbying and voter referenda, they have successfully pushed into law and the state constitution a number of well-intentioned changes. These include cutting the General Assembly from 150 to 113 members, cutting legislative prerogatives by instituting a separation of powers constitutional amendment, increasing terms for governor and other statewide elected offices, eliminating legislative pensions, and establishing a state ethics commission. These are fine moves, but none of them has led to overarching change in the way our government does business. For good reason. Change imposed from the top down is never as permanent as initiatives developed from the bottom up. What Rhode Island's recent history and occasional bursts of corruption prove is that there's no substitute for an aroused electorate. Voters who care put fear into the hearts of politicians, many of whom don't like to deal with large turnouts of the unfamiliar. Here at Rhode Island Public Radio, we are trying to do our small part. Tomorrow night from 7 to 8 o'clock, we'll be broadcasting live a special political roundtable with the Democratic candidates for governor. Next week, the Republican gubernatorial candidates will have the same opportunity. One way you can get engaged in the discussion in this crucial campaign season in Rhode Island is to send us questions that you would like to ask the candidates, and we'll consider using them on the programs. We'll try to do our best to inform voters about the issues. Won't you try to help us?